you want to win one of the new collector's edition of Divergent, then stay tuned because this is Faction Fandom, episode 14.
Whoop, whoop. Hello.
Alyssa, it is so good to see your shining face.
Aw, you're the sweetest. It is good to see yours.
Even if you are in the comfort of your bed.
Oh, yes. It is a glorious thing.
I have a funny story because we've talked a little bit before about people finding our tumblers.
Yeah.
And the craziness that would occur when that happens.
Yep.
I was on a site today, and there was an intern actually teaching the class. So I really didn't do much. I took a role and talked to the intern. It's clear she's quite a nerd. meanwhile, I'm making bookmarks, which for the giveaway that we've posted about, which we'll talk about later. So I'm just like killing time crafting and stuff in this room, and she's looking over like, "Oh, Divergent," and I'm thinking, "Oh dear, I made a friend." She, we're talking about our fandoms and stuff, and she finally asks me, "So you like Divergent then?" And I don't know what occurred to me to say this. This is not something I publicize to new people, but I was like, "Yeah, I run a Divergent podcast," and her jaw just dropped, and I just realized the effect. Like, when you meet new people, you don't really let your entire inner nerd come out until you've established a relationship with that person and they're ready for it.
Yeah.
You know? And I didn't do that. And I just thought, holy crap, she probably knows how weird I am at this point. And in the middle of teaching, no lie, in the middle of, like, her helping a student, she just turns to me and says, "But you run a podcast?" And I just thought, oh, my God. This is not going to end well. But she was completely fine with it. She's actually pretty cool about it because then we started talking about Tumblr and all of our other fandoms and stuff, and I thought, man, this is what it feels like to meet people who are in Tumblr face-to-face. Like, you don't really let that shine in the real world. No. You usually leave that for the internet, and it was interesting. Man, I'm not doing this again.
That could have been really dangerous.
It could have been. I'm lucky it was not on the opposite side of the spectrum where people are just looking at you like...
I'm very lucky in that my best friend is also on Tumblr and she understands the crazy. I have other good friends who are not on Tumblr and they kind of put up with my weird Tumblr-ness.
Oh, okay.
It's my Tumblr-ness is like something I don't discuss with them. It's to the side. But I'm good friends with them. So, it's an awkward situation.
It's not something you really let out.
No. Nobody off the internet that I didn't, like, meet on Tumblr or is my ultimate best friend should really ever experience the crazy that is my whole Tumblr.
Right. Oh, yeah, and here's the best part. So, I'm telling her, I'm, like, laying my life story out here. And meanwhile, she's on her computer searching for everything that I say. And then she goes, "Wait, it's called Faction Fandom?" And I'm like, "Oh my God, she found us. Oh, you're on Tumblr. Oh my God, she found my Tumblr. Oh, you read Landline?" And I'm just thinking, stop doing this while I'm in the room. I want to leave. Do this in the comfort of your own home. Cyberstalk me, not so.
Wait, she cyberstalked you in public?
I know. It's weird. It wasn't in public. We were the only two people in the room. She just happened to have her laptop up, while we're having conference period. But I just thought, oh, man.
That's not cool.
Oh. But again, I was like, God, I just feel very naked right now. Oh, man.
It's just, I don't blame
it's
you.
It's strange. It was very strange. I'm just very fortunate. She's also... I'm pretty sure she's just as big a nerd as I am. Because now I follow her on Tumblr, and I don't feel so bad.
Good. That is good.
I can see that. Anyway, that's my funny story of the day.
It's a good story. I wish I had a story that was that good. All I did was go to homecoming and get sued, listeners, if you are under 21.
No. You should also be very cautious even when you're over 21.
About indeed. Being public. That is true.
Because sometimes that can have dire effects.
Yes. Don't do it. Actually, getting drunk is not fun. It sounds like it's fun, but it's so not fun. Anyway.
So we're going to talk a little bit about some news that we have been lagging on, apparently. And we are going to go through our chapter by chapter discussions. Coming to the end of the book. It's super exciting. And kind of a, I don't know, like a Halloween costume discussion since we are in October. And finalizing it all with some book recommendations. So we'll see how that goes. All right, but starting off with the news. So you remember a couple episodes ago when one of our listeners wrote in asking us what we thought about characters being in the movie and characters not being in the movie.
Right.
So it turns out I misread the email, apparently, because she was not referring to Edward, the, you know, stabbed in the eye guy, quote unquote, but Edgar. And I did a little research on this, and apparently Edgar is a new character put into Insurgent, the movie, whom is not in the book at all.
I find that irritating. I never enjoy it when movies just make up a new character.
So that's happened before? That's not just... I don't think I've ever heard of a movie doing that before.
I mean, the way it looks with Edgar is that Edgar is actually going to be kind of, like, important to the plot.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah. Movies adding characters has always been sort of a low-key character. They're not, like, super involved, but they're kind of involved. And then they fall off the face of the earth.
I've heard of taking characters' lines and giving it to another character, or dropping characters and giving their storyline to someone else a little bit more important, or just adding them in and not giving them an important part. That, I mean, that happens all the time, but just adding someone completely new, that just boggles me. I didn't even realize that was a thing people could do.
It's not a thing that is generally done.
It's understandable why the fandom was so, like, up in roar about it. This email and this news is a couple months old now, but they, a lot of people were worried that this Edgar guy was going to be a love triangle.
Yes.
Filmmakers know how much we love love triangles. Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Happily, though, Veronica Roth stating that she can attest for sure that there is no love triangle. Because one of the things Veronica Roth was so passionate about was, you know, kind of focusing on four interests as a relationship and how that grows rather than trying to throw something else in the mix with confusing emotions.
Yeah. But
still, it makes us wonder who this guy is going to be.
I'm kind of annoyed.
I guess we'll find out whenever he, you know, they come, whenever he makes his big appearance. Now, on to some other news, which is also a little old, but kind of funny. Did you read this article about Miles Teller?
I kind of skimmed it. It's funny.
He's coming out with this new movie, Whiplash. And I haven't heard of it, but The Hollywood Reporter was interviewing him. And what were his words exactly? I'm going to pull it up. But he was he talked about how he was kind of, he was burnt out from Divergent. And then he claims later that he only took it for business reasons.
Yeah.
Which, okay, it's not, that's not like a total bad thing. People understand that you're going to do something like that to promote your career. But then his final comment whenever he was saying, yeah, he went to his agent after getting the Divergent script and was like, this sucks. I mean, and shares that with the reporter. And I'm thinking, yeah, okay, now you're going a little overboard.
Yeah, I kind of get it.
I totally understand, you know, being burnt out of a movie. And, I mean, yeah, not all actors are going to take roles that they're proud of.
No.
But,
as we know, with Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, but again, it's not like Robert Pattinson kept it a secret.
No,
either.
Nobody hates Twilight as much as Robert Pattinson. And he made that very clear.
Right.
It was easily possible.
But did he ever do that while they were filming, though?
Well, he was never, like, he simply refused to do a lot of the press during Twilight.
Okay.
But then,
so there you go.
But then during, like, we find, like, he did, like, audio for, like, a director's cut or something. Like, what are those things called?
Commentary?
Yes. He did a commentary for one of the Twilight movies, for, like, all of the Twilight movies. And he's like, yeah, no, this was ridiculous. I sparkle.
I just felt like he was very funny about it until the time came when the movies were done. He didn't have to worry about promotion. They were already giants. Not like anything he could say could really tear them down because people were crazy over it. And that, like, once it all kind of started coming to an end, then he was like, okay, let me just be clear that I really do hate this movie.
I mean, it is definitely a little bit weird that he said that. It's very strange.
You know, it's even stranger, though. I mean, again, like I said, I get him being not very impressed with Divergent and not really wanting to take it in the first place.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't really tell somebody that, but, you know, whatever. He could have just been tired, and that makes total sense for anyone who's listening who has a job or will have a job in the future. You're always going to have to do dirty work at some point to kind of move yourself up. Very few people get their dream job, you know, firsthand.
He said in that other article you sent me that he was accustomed to being more involved in the process of filmmaking. I mean, clearly his agent and the Lionsgate was like, dude, seriously?
Not cool. Yeah.
Back it up. So.
I just think he's a big baby because he didn't get a big part like he wanted to. Because didn't he originally audition for 4?
Oh, I don't remember, but probably.
I think he did. I think he originally auditioned for the role as 4, and they wanted to go another route.
Yeah.
So they gave him Peter instead. That makes total sense. I just don't think that's smart to really diss that while you're in the middle, while the franchise is kind of still building. Yep. What really ticked me off is, like, the next stuff that came out. So, like, his agent made he regrets saying those things and yada, yada, yada. Clearly, you know, they're trying to cover, you know, fix his mess. And then Miles tweets and says, I never said that I took a job for business reasons. Now he's just flat out lying. I think it's the trying to fix the situation that really screwed them over, because now we know that he clearly said something he regretted, and because he's lying about it. I would have, you know, it would have been easier for them to say, oh, well, yeah, I did take the job. I wasn't expecting it when I first took it, and I was just burnt out from all of the press. I wasn't ready for it yet. Something along those lines.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just thought, man, he needs to take a lesson from Mr. Pattinson.
Yeah.
But that's kind of old news. It's just very big news from what I was reading.
Yes.
So there's that. You think that they would go so far as to try to kill him off in Insurgent? Even if that never happens?
Do we need to worry about that? I mean, is he like important later?
Well, they're already done with filming. I mean, they're doing like extra scenes and stuff like that, I think, but
no, they're... I mean, like, no, I don't, but I'm talking about Allegiant.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I mean,
they might.
God, it's been so long since I've read Allegiant. He's in there, I think, but not for any, if he is in there, it's for a very short time.
I mean, that just might be something they cut out of the third movie.
Or maybe he does die in Insurgent. I don't think he dies, though. I'm pretty sure he doesn't. God, what happens to him? You know what? I'm not even going to worry about it. Moving on. Okay, so last Tuesday, I think it was October 22nd. It was Allegiant's birthday.
Yay!
Exactly 1 year ago, last week, Allegiant came out. That's when everyone really fell apart because it all was coming to an end. And everyone's emotions were high. And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
All I'm going to say.
I remember that. It was fun.
Yeah. And
it was fun to watch.
It was fun to watch. Fun to watch everyone freaking out about it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it was insane.
Yeah, it's anyway. Fun. I enjoyed it.
Oh my goodness. Let's talk a little bit of Hunger Games news. We haven't talked a whole lot about Hunger Games in our past episodes with it rapidly coming the movie rapidly approaching. What do you think of all the new, like the trailer and all the promotion that they've been doing with it?
I feel like it's going to break me a little bit inside.
Wait, you think the movie is going to break you a little bit?
I think the movie is going to like kill me a little bit inside.
Oh yeah. I've said this before. I have half a mind not to even see Mockingjay 1 until next year when the second one comes out.
You're not?
I mean, I probably will, let's be honest. But I seriously don't want to watch anything that doesn't have PETA in it for very long. Like, even reading the book, and I think it's kind of obvious where they're going to split it, but even when reading the book, the first half of it was so, it's important, but so kind of boring.
It is.
And then the second half of the book is really when all the action happens. Like, they find everybody, and then everything happens, and then there's a lot of chaos and drama, and then Katniss has her epiphanies, and you're just like, oh.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think how they're going to do this.
Where they're going to split it?
Yeah.
Oh, my guess is, okay, so spoiler for people who haven't read Mockingjay yet, but my guess is they're going to split it right when they rescue PETA and, what's her name, Johanna?
Joanna.
Yes.
There's just so much that doesn't, it's a boring part of the book, and I'm bored thinking about it.
From what I've been told, it's a lot like the first half of Deathly Hallows, isn't it?
Yeah, but I enjoyed the first half of Deathly Hallows.
The book or the movie?
Both.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the problem with comparing it to the Deathly Hallows is that in the first half of the Deathly Hallows, there's like actual full-on drama.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just, I mean, there's full-on drama in Mockingjay, but it's not like,
it's all kind of located in one spot of the book. It's not really dispersed throughout the whole thing.
It's boring.
I'm thinking they're going to show, the way they're promoting it, I feel like they're going to really show a lot more of the Capitol. At this point, I don't think they can afford not to show Josh Hutcherson in the first movie.
Yeah, I'm...
I feel like we're going to get a lot more of that side of the story than we do in the books.
Probably. That's what I'm hopeful of, seeing more of that.
We'll add some drama and add some content for us, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
But I definitely love all of the stuff they're doing with, like, the little teaser trailers and the posters and stuff like that. Like,
yeah,
I think it's hilarious. You go to the movies and all you see is President Snow with, PETA and Johannes, standing next to him. And you're just like, wait a minute, what is this for again? And you have to really think about it. Like, oh, this is Hunger Games stuff.
It's very cool.
They've really done a good job marketing this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you really feel like you're experiencing it before it comes
out. Yeah.
So that's a lot of fun. I can't wait for that to come out next, less than a month away.
I know.
Which also means that the first Insurgent trailer is going to be less than a month away.
True story.
So that's going to be interesting, fun too.
Yeah, which I'm excited about.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what else here. Okay, you've read Legend, right? By Marie Lu?
Nope.
You haven't?
Nope.
Oh my gosh, okay. I'm going to have to add that on recommendations later.
Sweetness, have you seen my to-be-read pile? I've shown you this, right? This is basically my to-be-read pile.
I know you have. It's, oh my gosh, though, it's very amazing. I'm impressed that it has more of a fan base. But Marie Lu is a really awesome author. I love the way she writes, and she does dual perspectives.
Oh, fun.
Which usually bore me, but I really like the way she did it. And so she wrote Legend, Prodigy, and Champion, which were amazing dystopian books for anybody who, really wants a good dystopian novel to kind of venture out into that. I mean, I highly recommend those. They were amazing. They were her like a book debut.
Yeah.
So her new series that she's just come out with is called The Elites. And that released at the beginning of the month, and I got my copy of it, and I'm super excited to read it, and so I'm so pumped. We've talked about that before on the show, too. I don't know if you were with us, but I felt like that needed some discussion. And then I've told you about the Unfortunate Fairy Tale series
Yes,
last episode. I found out that new book that I'm excited about comes out November 3rd, so that's coming up pretty soon for anybody who wants to jump on that train.
cool.
And then what's this story you have to add in?
The story I have to add in is the announcement from J.K. Rowling and how she's going to write a new, like, a novella or a short story about our ever so much favorite villain in that we, the one that we all hate, Dolores Umbridge. I don't even love to hate her. I just hate her.
She's not like a Maleficent sort of character. She's just pure evil.
I just hate her. I just
That's
hate
so
her.
interesting that she wants to write that, though.
I don't know why she wants to write that. It's irritating. There are so many other things and other people that she could write about, but I hate the fact that she's writing about Umbridge. I'm just gonna be like super cranky about the whole situation until it comes out, and I'll read it and be like, okay, fine, it's Harry Potter. I will read it.
Yeah.
But I hate everything about it.
You know more about J.K. Rowling's life than I do. But I thought she said that she was a little bit done with the Harry Potter
Oh
for
no.
a while. I mean, aside from Fantastic Beasts, which takes place in the same world, but as far as moving on, she wanted to move on to bigger and better things, apparently.
She has moved on, and now she's coming back. She's written
Maybe.
three books outside of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
None of
Well,
them
I
have
mean, The
done.
Cuckoo's Calling was pretty popular.
Yeah, after they found out it was J.K. Rowling.
You don't think it was that popular beforehand?
No, not at all. Not at all. And
It's not
that's
like
the
she needs the
reason.
money or anything. She's got this big movie deal going on.
Yeah. But that's the reason that it became more popular. I mean, it was well liked and well received by reviewers, but Cuckoo's Calling wasn't like flying off the shelf.
I don't know. It'll be really exciting when it comes out, though. That's kind of how I feel about Lavanya's novella. It's not a novella, Lavanya's book
It's a novel.
for the Lunar Chronicles.
Bitch has written a full-on novel about Lavanna. I'm like, why couldn't you wait to release Lavanna until winter came out?
Apparently, we need to read it beforehand,
Winter.
or else she wouldn't have released it. Does that make it? Here's the thing. Does that make it a five book series, or does that make it like an extra book, like a companion book? You know what I mean?
I don't know because I have no idea what is going to happen in Ferris.
I feel like, given her pattern, her writing style, and the other books, I feel like if Lavanya's story is told strictly from Lavanya's viewpoint, it would be a companion book because, or else it would, include excerpts from the other characters like the other books do.
Yeah, that's true. I just don't know. We'll see. It comes out on the 5th. I'm freaking out because I just need it to come out already so that I can
I know.
continue my never-ending desire for winter so that Scarlet can get. Never mind, I'm going to stop talking because I know that there are people who haven't talked about it. I know that there are people who haven't read this. All I need like Scarlet, and I need Wolf, and I
I
need
know,
Cress, and I
I
need Thorn,
Oh my
and I need
gosh.
Cinder and Kai.
How much did you absolutely love Cress, though? Okay, you know what? This may be a topic for another day.
You know what? We're gonna have to spend an entire day on the Lunar Chronicles.
We could do that once. We could definitely do that. Have like a split Lunar Chronicles Part One, and then when the other two books come out, have a Part Two episode.
I think this is a good idea.
We've been talking about how we want to do another book review anyway. It could be like a series review.
We could do a series review, and I would enjoy that
That'd be fun.
because I love it so
Okay.
hard.
So,
Okay, but.
alrighty. So that'll be interesting. And finally, our great news for anyone who doesn't follow us on Tumblr or Twitter or the website, the time has come for our giveaway.
Huzzah!
Yay! Yeah, that started last week. So
Forever.
sorry if you only listen to us. You should probably follow us on Tumblr,
Probably.
prontito for that.
Feel bad about that.
But how does the giveaway work, Alyssa?
Yeah, if you don't follow us on Tumblr, probably start doing that if you want to take part in this. So basically, you can like, reblog, and it'll be in the show notes for you to find. You can like and reblog it as many times as you like. Don't spam your own followers, because nobody likes that. And yeah, you have until the 2nd?
6th.
6th. The 6th to like and reblog it. We will have 2 winners. One winner, the grand prize winner, will get bookmarks and a copy of the collector's edition of Divergent. Mm-hmm. And can come on the show and berate me for not having read Insurgent yet. And then our second
winner. Please, I'll make that a whole segment of just bashing Alyssa for not reading the other books yet. If that gets you to follow us, then by all means. But what does the second winner win?
Second winner wins 6 bookmarks and also a chance to be a co-host with us and yell at me.
Exactly.
It's always fun.
It is always fun. Take it from me.
I know you enjoy yelling at me, Stephanie, so it's fine.
You have to understand, I got nothing else to do. I take advantage of every opportunity I have to make the show funny. No, but it's all in good fun. The fun thing is that these aren't ordinary bookmarks. These are things we're making, right?
Yes.
Unless you're buying yours, in which case you're a cheat.
I'm not buying them. I haven't made mine yet.
That's okay. You have time. But the thing is, we want you, people from the podcast universe, to come into the Tumblrverse so that you can experience it too. So don't let those mean Tumblr bookish nerds, you know, win your book. Get in there. Make it happen.
Yes, please do. It would be infinitely better if, you know, people who actually listen to the podcast would win.
It also gives, you know, you parents an excuse to create a Tumblr and really, really see into your children's lives.
Oh, actually, no, that's a lie. You don't want to do that. It's terrifying.
You don't have to follow them. You could just create one for the sake of wanting to win a book. And, oh, man, this is what life is like when you're 13.
What life is like for strange 20-something-year-olds and teenagers.
Oh, I know. But, yeah, follow us on Tumblr at faction-fandom.tumblr.com.
Yep.
And or if you don't know where it is, you can just Google Faction Fandom Giveaway, and that should pull it up for you as well. But get on it, people. And that's the news. Definitely make it happen.
That is the news.
And hopefully that brings us up to date. Next time I won't, you know, find news that happened 5 months ago. I'm really bad at news. I really need to get on that. Moving on to chapter by chapter. Let's see. Where did we pick up? We did chapters 33 through 36.
Yes, we did.
And I think last time, what happened last time? Oh, Tobias gave Triss her her kiss / epiphany.
Yep.
Of the erudite plan. And this is basically what happens. So, next day, Triss wakes up, and apparently the entire Dauntless compound is in a simulation.
Indeed.
And they are gonna, you know, do what they do best and fight.
Yep.
AKA kill all the abnegation. So, Triss is panicking. She can't deviate from, like, the soldier robot moves that everyone else is in the process of doing, so she keeps doing it so that no one will know she's divergent, right?
Yeah.
Then Vor takes her hand, and she's like, oh, he's divergent too. Is this really what that means? Like, is that when we really realize that Vor is divergent? Because they've done a really good job of beating around the bush on that topic.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that she realized that because she was awake and divergent, that anyone else who was awake had to be divergent. So it's a logical leap.
Okay. Again, no one ever says this, so it's like, you know. We want a confession from Vor saying that he is divergent, but whatever.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, of course. But so that happens, but they're still going on until Eric decides he wants to shoot Vor in his robot stage because he's a jerkwad. And Triss ain't having it, so she decides to point her gun at Eric and decide, oh, it's time to wake up.
Yeah.
And that's chapter 33.
Yes, it is.
Oh, well, you know, they get captured, too. That happens.
Get shot in the army, captured.
And then they're taken to Janine. I, like, flashback to The Incredibles, and she takes one of these evil villain monologues that all great villains do.
She does.
To explain her entire plan so that when the time comes they get to escape, they'll know exactly how to stop her.
Yeah.
Her plan is to eliminate the factionless and the abnegation because they're crap. They're a waste of everyone's time.
They are.
She's going to create this new world of peace after killing everyone off.
It's but important.
It's going to be a peaceful world where everyone's mind controlled. So, like the Stepford Wives.
Who doesn't love mind control?
I know, right?
It's a classic evil villain move.
It really is. It's a great plan.
It is.
But did you find it weird when they said that most divergent people came from abnegation?
You know, I kind of didn't, actually. It made sense to me for some reason. I think, you know, it made the most sense because selflessness requires a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm.
To become selfless, you have to be strong and you have to be brave and you have to be truthful. You kind of have to be everything to be selfless. It didn't shock me so much to find out that most people from abnegation were divergent.
Hmm.
Or that most divergents were from abnegation.
Yeah, because you have to be able to hide it and set that aside.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess that makes sense. And that's easy. I guess that is easy to do because abnegation just kind of hides everything, don't they?
Yes, they do.
So then, of course, now we finally get some explanation. Janine's like, yeah, well, that's why I don't like divergent people, because they can't be controlled. And she decides to keep four so that she can, you know, do some mind control testing things. Meanwhile, she's going to kill Triss because she's like those babies in China with cleft lips, you know. Deformed, no longer a use.
Oh my god.
Is that a bad joke?
That was a bad joke.
Maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe well, not. I mean, she's just shot in the arm. I just think it's ridiculous. She's like, oh, you're no use to me because you're wounded. Like, she can be healed.
It's not hard.
But I'm pretty sure she just wants to get rid of her because she's a nuisance to her, not so much because she's, you know, shot.
Yeah, I mean, Tobias hasn't really been that much of a nuisance to her. He's actually been kind of useful. But Triss has been like those darn kids and that stupid dog. Or whatever they say.
Whatever they say, that's exactly what they say, huh?
Not exactly what they say, but it's kind of close. She's basically the Mystery Machine crew and the Scooby-Doo friends.
Where are you going with this?
Well, she keeps getting in people's ways and like discovering things that she wasn't meant to discover and understand things.
I guess she wasn't meant to
know. She's like a member of the mystery-solving team.
Well, what are they called? The Divergent Rebels. That's what Janine calls them.
Oh, the Scooby-Doo team. They're called something.
The Mystery Gang.
The Mystery Gang. Thank you. But yeah, so she doesn't like...
I don't know. I just love that Ford decides, oh, well, he's going to kill my girlfriend, so I might as well attack her with my last fighting will.
Yeah.
Like, they're not surrounded by other dauntless leaders, but whatever. He goes down fighting.
And naturally, it doesn't work.
No, because it never does.
It never does.
And then they shoot Triss in the head.
Yeah.
Not quite.
Not really, but almost.
But something like that.
She gets tranked.
She gets what?
She gets tranquilized.
Yeah. I thought you said she gets tanked because she gets put in a tank. I thought maybe that was a funny little one.
Well, I mean, she does do that as well.
But she is put in a glass tank. I thought this was really cool. I like this one a whole lot more. Like, instead of shooting her, they kind of put her in her own fear.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I like that, but I like the darkness of that. That's a lot more freaky than just, oh, let me shoot you by this pool. Which one did you prefer more, the movie execution or the book execution?
Well, the movie execution was kind of classic. We're going to go shoot you in the head behind a shed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the books one was just creepy. But I mean, again, I have the thing where I like breathing, so.
You like breathing. That's true. I still thought this was a lot cooler. I feel like they should have kept this.
I don't.
It would have been a lot more dramatic.
I don't think they could.
And then, you know, she panics, and then she's like, oh no, I'm going to accept death. And then her mom dramatically comes and, like, breaks her out of the tank.
Yep.
I just thought that was really cool. Like, visually, I would have loved to have seen that, but whatever. What is her name, by the way? Her mom. I call them Mama and Papa Pryor, but I don't know their names. I think the dad's called Andrew.
Edith.
Edith? Is that her name?
Yep.
Yeah, so Edith comes, and she finds out that her mom's divorced.
No,
too.
Sorry. I lied. Natalie.
Who's Edith, then?
Edith is someone else.
Is she... Are you looking on Wikipedia?
I Googled divergent mom name.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yeah, Natalie.
Natalie is the mom's name.
Natalie Pryor. Yeah, so she's divergent, too, apparently.
Yay.
When you found out that her mom was divergent, did you not feel like this was, like, a genetics thing?
No, not really.
You didn't?
No.
Well, see, that was my first thought. Because I've always wondered this, because her mom was from Dauntless, and then she chose Dauntless, herself.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is ever said, but did you know what faction her dad's from?
I thought he was from Abnegation.
Okay. No. I'm going to spoil you for a moment. He's from Erudite originally. Yeah. So, spoiler for, I guess, book two. But her dad's not from Abnegation either. He's from Erudite. And then Caleb goes to Erudite. So, I'm always like, man, maybe this is like a genetic thing.
Very interesting.
I know. And then, like, she finds out her mom's divergent. I don't know.
Oh, I just ruined my life.
Did you just read the whole thing?
I just clicked on things that I am not happy about reading.
Alyssa, get off of the computer. Quit spoiling yourself.
That was a terrible idea.
Oh my gosh.
Why did I do that?
SMH, bro. SMH.
I know.
Yeah. Let's get back to the chapters. I like the quote her mom says, though. What did she say?
Our minds move in a dozen different directions, and that terrifies our leaders. It means that we can't be controlled.
Okay, so does that mean that just the Erudite are scared of her, or that all faction leaders are scared of the Divergent?
I'm sure it's a combination of both, but I think it's mostly Erudite, because they seem to be the ones who are, like, full-on trying to kill the Divergents.
Well, yeah. They're also the only ones who want to mind control everybody, so
yes,
that helps too, I think.
It does.
Anyway, her mom saves her, and then they run away. And I can't even talk about the ending to chapter 39.
I still hate it. I'm not.
I can't.
I'm mad about it.
I get that there's going to be death in books. I just hate when, like, the parents die.
Like, what's the point of it?
Like, I'd much rather have a character whose parents have already died.
Yeah.
Then be attached to, you know, she just saved her kid. Worst part is that they're running away and someone shoots her mom because she's like going to, you know, she like sacrifices herself for her, and she can't even mourn for her mom because she's in the middle of running away from people shooting at her. Like, how much will that suck?
I hate it.
Imagine watching your mom being shot and not being able to like go to her or like cry for her because they're shooting at you too. Like Nazi Germany over here. It's ridiculous.
I don't want to talk about it. Oh. I can't talk about it because I love my mother.
I love my mom too. I hate this part. I hate it. For Tris, I cried.
Yeah, we can't
try it again.
We have to stop talking about it now.
Oh, man. So I stopped there at chapter 35. So that's the ending. Finish the end of the book, guys, and let's check us out next time. And you'll get the big event. I'm excited because I'm excited to see, well, you spoiled yourself. I was going to have a whole segment where we just went on off of Alyssa's theories of what was going to happen in Insurgent.
I spoiled myself about Triss's mother.
Okay. Then we won't talk about that.
That's what I spoiled myself about.
That was it. We'll still have your Insurgent theories then.
All right.
Quit spoiling yourself though, okay?
Without spoiling myself.
Okay. Moving on. I don't know. I was trying to come up with some kind of Halloween-themed game since this Friday is All Hallows Eve for the world.
Tis.
It is in America. And I couldn't really come up with anything, so I thought we would just talk about this like in hypothetical situations. Alyssa and I are 13 years old.
Okay.
No, we're 15 years old.
All right.
I'm a little bit more mature. So we're 15. We're 15, and we're gonna make our own divergent Halloween costumes.
Okay.
How would you go about that, and what pieces would you put together to be in this book? Like, would you choose a specific faction or a specific character?
Okay, I'm 15.
Yes.
I'm just thinking of my body at 15.
Oh, no, that doesn't count, because I imagine my body completely different.
Oh, no, my body was fine at 15. I liked my body.
So your body at 15, what would you do?
Dauntless, just as a general dauntless kind of character.
Okay.
Because at 15, I thought I was hot shit.
Okay.
And you could do a lot of fun things with dauntless.
Is it just me, or do I feel like every dauntless outfit looks the same, though?
That might just be you, but I would probably definitely go towards dauntless, because you can do, you know, you've got the wild hair and the tattoos, and you can kind of go all out crazy.
I don't know if it's just me. I'd want to braid my hair, like give myself cornrows. I would do that. I would be like super edgy, have tattoos everywhere if I was going to be like that. I'd like get a piercing right in the middle of my forehead. Like one of those. Have you seen pictures of people who have spikes coming out of their face?
Yeah, I
don't know.
I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, I would definitely. Actually, I need a Halloween costume this year because I've been doing a Halloween party for my youth group, and I think I'm just going to go with like all black and dauntless.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There you go. You get yourself a tattoo.
I have many.
You just draw them on, tattoo yourself up.
Yep. Go get some more temporary tattoos.
You could put a tattoo of a water droplet or a wave, kind of show off your fear.
Yeah, you know, I don't have that much time before you or after work.
You're my like, hair, I'm just gonna put on some black clothes and go.
My hair doesn't hold a curl, so.
I would probably go with an Amity person, because I love yellow and I love red. Mm-hmm. And I love dressing up. I imagine people from Amity dressing up all like hippie.
Yeah.
So I would pull off like a red dress with like some yellow shoes and a yellow like bandana or something and long necklaces and like doll yourself up kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like I just want to be pretty and happy. Watch my curls bounce. A little bit. And that's my Amity character. That's my whole envision.
Yeah, I love it.
I feel like all erudite people dress up like business suits.
They do.
Candor people, too. They're all in black and white, but I feel like candor people are also in business suit attire. Like, oh my gosh, I hate Christina's outfit at the beginning of the movie with her, like, Beetlejuice pants.
I hated those.
I know. I really didn't like them. And if other people liked them, good for you, but oh my gosh, I didn't. I thought she looked horrible. Well, what else could you do? Like, you could, like, if you wanted to just dress up in all blue, or all black, or all gray, you could really do a simple abnegation outfit and just pull your hair back
really
in a bun.
Could.
And, like, a long gray muumuu.
Yep.
And walk around. You could just hold your hands out to people like you're a poor person.
Go alms to the poor.
Candy. Or, oh, you know what? To really tip it off, you could give your candy. Instead of going trick-or-treating, you would give your candy to somebody instead of take it away.
Oh.
Kind of feeds the whole purpose. I mean, if you really want to get into character.
Yeah, if you really want to get into character, but that defeats the whole purpose. At 15, you're really not trick-or-treating.
You're going to a party, and you're probably going to be showing off more skin than you need to be.
Probably.
Unless you were like me as a dorky teenager and you actually held parties where you didn't drink and you was dressed up. I think we had murder mystery parties when I was a teenager, actually. Those were
I like murder mystery parties.
Yeah.
But that's totally not the kind of parties I was going to when I was 15.
Okay. Well, that's a story for another day, so we won't talk about that.
Yeah, today. It is.
So yeah, those are our suggestions.
Oh.
Those are the days, though.
Those are the days.
I tell you what, since you are listening, I think you as a listener should email us and tell us what your Divergent costumes are.
Yes.
If you would want to dress up, Bob, how would you dress up?
Ooh, if you were going to have a Divergent-themed Halloween party.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
How would you do it? As I feel like our listeners are crafty
yeah,
people.
Yeah, like those really creative ones. Party people, yeah.
We have some very creative email people listening to us.
We'll read them here.
We will.
Alyssa loves you.
I love emails and I love our listeners.
I think we just love when people let us know how much they care.
Yes.
And write to us. It really feeds our fuel.
It does.
Little Aww. Warm fuzzies.
I do love a warm fuzzy. Mm-hmm. We should do our book recs, which are not warm and fuzzy this week.
Yes, not really. I feel like there should be more doom and mystery in the air. But I thought it would be cool to recommend horror/mystery books, some Halloween-themed novels. And really, you could recommend anything. I mean, I think I've got some YouTube channels on here, so.
Yeah, you do. So my first recommendation is a classic, Sleepy Hollow by Washington Irving. And I think everyone should read it because it's fantastically hysterical. And at the same time, really super creepy. And I don't know, it's a lot of fun. And then my other one is a much more creepy modern book.
Uh-huh.
Obedience. I now can't remember who it's by, and I apologize. I'll figure it out later. But it's about a murder on a college campus, and it deals with the class, and it's just everything about that book freaked me right out to the point where I was just like, I can't sleep anymore. I don't think I slept for like a day and a half after I read it. And I don't really read horror or mystery books all that frequently. So this book was just like...
in your face.
Nah. Yeah.
Was it at Winchester University?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I'm looking at it right now on Goodreads. It's by Will Lavender.
Yes, that is right. And it's just uber creepy.
Will Lavender, that sounds fun. Sometimes a really good creepy book is what you want to go with. Like, you just want to shake it up with something different.
That's true. One of my favorite creepy books is actually, like, my favorite kind of quasi-creepy book is called Regina's Song by David Eddings. And it's David Eddings. It's got an element of supernatural magic thing going on. And it's about these twins. One of them gets murdered, and yeah, it's very interesting. I feel like I can't give too much of it away without ruining it, but it's narrated by a close friend of the twins' family, and it's set in Seattle, and he's going to, I can't remember what the name of the university is, but he's going to college to get his PhD in English, and girl in an insane asylum, basically. And murder and mayhem.
I was going to ask, is it like one of these psychological kind of books?
It's a little psychological. It's mostly supernatural and magical realism. But I honestly can't give too much of it away without ruining the book. So that's another book that I think people should read, because it's fun, and David Eddings is one of my favorite people in the world. And I would love to meet him.
Cool. I'm excited.
All right.
I feel like Sleepy Hollow is a real classic. Do you watch the show, by the way?
Yes. I have to catch up on this season, but I can watch it.
I just started watching it. And
oh my god, it's so good.
On Netflix, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm gonna recommend books I haven't read. Is that bad? I don't read a whole lot of mystery thriller. But I have these books to read. I bought them specifically for the Halloween month theme. And I just never got around to it. And now it's like 4 days away and I still haven't done it. But I've been too busy reading Grace's Guidebook. Because I absolutely adore Grace Helbig. And I'm super pumped about that. But that's beside the point. So, A Monster Calls has been on my book list for the longest time, and it's by Patrick Ness. I hear lots of awesome things about Patrick Ness, and from what I've seen in the bookstore and from what I've seen in my book and other people, like, online and stuff, it's about this kid who, like, has, you know, this recurring monster in his nightmare, and then his nightmare finally comes alive, but he's not, like, a bad monster. Instead, there's more to the nightmare, and, like, his monster kind of helps him. But
I think so. I haven't read it.
It's a very visual book. Like, you look through it, and it's kind of like Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children, and that it's got all these, like, illustrations and creepy stock photos and things. And it's really cool looking, but I think I'm really interested to see how that turns out. And so I've got that to read. And another one that I just picked up this past week is called Rooms by Lauren Oliver. And I've only read one Lauren Oliver book in my life, and I'm completely sold on her.
Cool. I haven't read her.
And I'm gonna read you the thing right now. It says, wealthy Richard Walker has just died, leaving behind his country house full of rooms packed with the detritus of a lifetime. His estranged family, bitter ex-wife Caroline, troubled teenage son Trenton, and unforgiving daughter Mina have arrived for their inheritance. But the Walkers are not alone. And then it goes on to talk about, like, the other former residents of the house, and I think ghosts. I mean, it's interesting. I think it's a very supernatural type of book. Like some stuff that's happening in, you know, in the house as they're trying to kind of clean it out.
Yeah. I actually have it.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, do you have it like on ebook?
I was in a book swap and I got Rooms and I haven't read it yet.
I love it. I need to buy me some more Lauren Oliver. I have yet to really get into the Delirium series, but I've read Before I Fall and I was just completely sold on that. Oh my gosh, it was so intense. But I loved it, and my emotions were everywhere. And if this book is anything like that, I know I'm going to love it. Okay, and my final recommendation, the one thing that I have actually checked out and read slash watched was Frankenstein MD, which is actually on YouTube. It is not a book, but it's a book adaptation, so I think that counts. And Alyssa's, like, covering her face with her hand. Oh man. Like of all the scary things that I have listed to recommend, I haven't read any of them, but I've watched this one series adaptation and I liked it a lot.
I wanted to like it. I really did.
Oh really?
But I found Victoria densely irritating. I find the concept of gender bending so rubs against everything that I enjoy that can't.
Oh, that's bad. It's too bad.
I wanted to like it. I wanted that helped me get over my dislike of gender bending, and I just can't. I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And the part of the problem for me with gender bending is it's used in fan fiction, and people use it because they can't deal with having two men or two women together. Or alternatively, they can't deal with having a straight couple in their story. Okay. And that bothers me because while a really canon for me in fan fiction isn't necessary, but if the character was supposed to be a guy or if the character was supposed to be a girl, it should stay that way. I don't, like, if I'm reading Teen Wolf fan fiction, I don't need Styles to be made a girl because people are like, no, that doesn't work that way. I don't want that. So the idea of gender bending is, like, really one of my biggest, like, squicks, which is why Victoria or Frankenstein MD just mostly rubs me the wrong way. So I feel bad that I have crashed on your recommendation.
Technically, I haven't finished Frankenstein. I have started it. I feel like it'll be one of the few classics that I actually get through. I don't know. So far, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I can't wrap my head around Victoria, and I watched the first 4 episodes and just was like, I'm not impressed. Mm-hmm. I feel bad about that, but at the same time, I also discovered The New Adventures of Peter and Wendy and was like, bitches!
Okay, yeah. Those are pretty cool, aren't they?
Oh.
So those are our recommendations, I guess.
Yes. Enjoy your Halloween.
Happy Dia de los Muertos.
Indeed.
Those are always fun.
I like All Hallows.
Happy All Hallows Eve.
Mm-hmm.
That is it, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to email us in at factionfandompodcast@gmail.com. Always try and follow us on Twitter at FFandomPodcast. You can always visit the website at factionfandom.com, where we try to post, you know, the happenings and whatnot, so what's going on.
Stuff.
And please, 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 if you want to get in on the giveaway, that's going to end 2 weeks from today. Definitely get in on that. And if you have any questions, be sure and email us and ask us. Come on, guys. It's like homemade bookmarks. The collector's edition is beautiful. I've been staring at it. I'm kind of wanting to keep it for myself. Like, I may enter my own Tumblr in the mix just to win it.
You're not allowed to.
I might. I might create another Tumblr.
You can't win your own giveaway.
People would know once I came on as a guest host.
Yep.
Alyssa's like dead set on these rules here. Okay. So yeah, follow us on Tumblr at Faction.
I'm unimpressed.
For all the juicy details. She's just not having it.
Nope.
And
yep. And don't forget to follow me at a bookblog.tumblr.com.
Oh yeah.
Follow She's Stephanie at Tumblr.
You can follow me at How to Train Your Fangirl. Yeah, definitely do all those great things. And we will talk to you guys next time. Bye.
Bye. I like treats.
She's like, well, how does it feel to fail, Stephanie? I'm like, it feels like every other day of my life. I'm going to put some thematic music here. Some dun, dun, dun. How do you like decorating your office with your nerdy, with your nerdisms?
With my nerdisms, it's fun. Sometimes people are like, what is that on your desk? Like,
exactly. Yeah,
those are my... I'm glad you enjoyed my tiny Doctor Who figurines.
Let me just throw this out there. I think we had 14 followers on Tumblr. Then Alyssa comes along and reblogs the post about the giveaway. And I'm pretty sure we gained 36 followers that day after she reblogs it. And I'm like, man, I lucked out, Alyssa. I lucked out pulling you in here. I didn't even know what I was getting myself into.
Apparently, I have magic powers.
She does, which is crazy.
I had no idea.
Share one of your ridiculous texts with us.
My friend got her to read a book series, and she's having emotions.
Ooh.
She's apparently turned on Avril Lavigne and is wondering why things are so complicated.
That's hilarious.